to talk to you this morning about Thanksgiving is the door to everything. I truly believe that is. Now, I'm going to enter into it kind of a little different way this morning. And so, but I hope I end in a much more glorious way. Well, I'm in a series called How to Live a Supernatural Life. Lane's been ministering it here. I've been held up in Camden, and I've been going through several points of it there. Lane and I certainly, in our own different unique giftings, we share it differently. But I'll be down here real soon. They're just behind on television there. And so when they do, then they keep me there for a few weeks to those and then gain enough television programs. But I'm looking so forward to getting here because I'm looking so forward to being with you and talking to you about the supernatural life. Because God told me this next year could be amazing. It could be amazing. And if we would come up a level spiritually and handle it in a spiritual way, then this next year is going to be an amazing year. Now, the Lord kind of told me this, too. He said, some people won't get it at first. He said, some people will. Some people will get it, and they'll begin to move in a real spiritual tone, and I'll be able to be amazing from the first. He said, other people won't get it at first. They'll catch up about 6 months later. They'll see everybody else being blessed, and they'll say, wow, they're getting blessed, and I'm not getting blessed. And so they'll get into it about 6 months later. But God wants this next year to be truly a year that is amazing. And to help us do that, God's going to help us live a supernatural life. Well, I've been talking about the first point we've talked about is all about Him and I must see God. And the third was I contain God. And this morning I'm going to talk to you about Thanksgiving is the door to everything. Now, we're going to talk about it in a little different way. I want to talk to you about it from Psalms 100 and verse 3 in your Bible, 3, 4, and 5. So if you have your Bibles, open them with me quickly, or you can read them on the screen behind me here. Psalms 103, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. How many wants to acknowledge God in your life this morning? Just somebody jump up and just acknowledge Him and just give Him a praise or something. We acknowledge you, Lord. It's all so good. It's always so good to acknowledge you. It said, because He made us and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. But that next verse is so powerful because it's a roadmap into the very presence of God. See, I believe God created in each one of us a desire to be close to Him. Now, a lot of us have grown disappointed with that in the past number of years. We've tried a few times, and some way we wasn't able to get as close to God as what we felt like we should. Some are saying, well, you know, I'm not sure I even want to be close to God because some of you have misinformation. You're scared of God, and you don't realize you never have to be scared of somebody that loves you as much as God does. And so all types of things. But God puts inside of us, each one of us, a desire to be close to Him. Now, the book of Philippians tells He gives us two things. He gives us a desire to be close to Him, and then He gives us the power to go that journey. Because it is a real journey of being close to the Lord. I mean, each one of us are on a road this morning. And on our journey, we're all at different places. And so I hope that this morning that we can help to identify where we are, but where we're going. Because if I can identify where I am, then I won't be so judgmental or jealous of where you are. Because I can just realize, man, we're on different places on this road. And we're going to keep on this same road, and we're going to catch up. God's given us such a joy for the journey. He's given us strength for the journey. He's given us power for the journey. So we're going to go in. When I go to Dallas, when I drive from Camden into Dallas, man, that seems so long. When I hear Texarkana, and you're waiting to Rockwall, I mean, that is such a long stretch in there. And how many appreciate mile markers? Boy, I just appreciate mile markers. I love it when I see, Dale, I love it when I get to that mile marker out of Dallas says 100 miles. Because I can really identify. Because I'm usually always think I'm further than I am. And because of that, then I love these mile markers. Well, this is what I want to talk to you about, four mile markers this morning. Four real spiritual mile markers. So you can just kind of help determine where you are in a journey of going close to the Lord. And because I'm just taking it for granted. Everybody here has a desire for God. And I just believe that. And none of us are satisfied. God doesn't let us get satisfied. The Lord always keeps this hunger inside of us, this hunger for more and more and more and more of God. And so that's the way the Bible says, I enter into His gates with thanksgiving and I go into His courts with praise. I say, I give thanks to Him and I praise His name. We may not realize or not, but this is talking about moving into the presence of the Lord. When it talks about moving into the gates, it's the gate drawing near to the presence of God. When he's talking about coming into his courts, that's coming into right before you get to the presence of God. It's symbolic in the tabernacle, the temple, all of those, all through the Bible. If what it speaks of is right before you get into the very presence of God, the inner part of God, then you reach this place called the inner court. And so all of this scripture right here is talking about moving my life into the presence of God. Now, it gives me four road markers. One is thanksgiving, one is praise, one is thanks, and one is praise again. Now, in the Hebrew, we're going to all become Hebrew scholars this morning, all right? Well, somebody else is going to have to teach you if you are, but because I can't get you there. I can't get me there. But I know a little bit about it to understand this. It's important to have a certain understanding, if you're going to grow in God, of the Hebrew language. Because really, it's God's language. And it speaks that way. The reason God chose to write his Bible in Hebrew, let me tell you, is because the English language is a language just of letters. It has no pictures associated with it. The Hebrew language is a language of pictures. When you see a letter, one letter in the Hebrew alphabet, it's a picture. And see, that way God's word is forever expanding and forever growing. Because see, you and I can see the same scene, but we'll see it totally different. We'll see it from different directions. We'll see it with different meanings. That's the way God's word is. As we look at God's word, God meant for us to see it as scenes or as pictures. And that's why he wrote it in Hebrew. Because you can never, ever get the end of it. That's why you take great art and they'll spend millions of dollars for a great art piece, put it up in their house, and they can continually look at it every day and always see something different. And that's the way God's word is. That's a little hard in the English language. In fact, when we talk about the word praise and thanksgiving, there's approximately 57 different Hebrew words for the word praise and thanksgiving. Now, they're translated all through our Bible, all through our English Bible. They're translated in like praise, bless, thanks. But they're all part of this great thing that God has, this great picture of coming closer to him. Each level of praise is like a mile marker to carry you to the next level of praise or worship, to carry you to the next level that moves you closer to the very presence of God. Now, let me say worship and praise is far more than just having. We have wonderful worship this morning. Leah, thank you all so much. Give our praise leaders and those all so wonderful. You and Jerry, wonderful job. But our praise didn't stop there. Our praise, in fact, is our life offered up to the Lord in worship. So God gave us 57 words in the Hebrew, 57 different pictures. Now, out of those 57, is anybody losing me yet? Out of those 57, there are seven that we consider the most important words. Out of the 57, there are seven that's vital. And I'm going to talk about four of those seven this morning. In fact, four of the seven most vital words for praise I'm going to talk about. And these four is a roadmap. The seven, the 57, each one is pictures, glimpses. Like if you was to have a camera and you took a picture of me at Texarkana, and then you was ready to take a picture of me at Texarkana when I got to Rockwall or when I got into Dallas. These are pictures as we move closer into the presence of God. So there's seven major words that I love that I had an intense sensation, a passion for the last many years, is to be able to have an understanding, to be able to move into the presence of the Lord more. And so, but I'm going to talk to you about four, and all four of them is listed in this verse. In fact, it's the roadmap. All right, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Thanksgiving is one of those four. Praise is one of those four. Thanks is one of the four. And praise. And they're all mile markers moving me right into the presence of God. And this is the reason is for the Lord is good. See, if I allow God to bring me closer to him, I'm going to find, man, this is a good God. And he has good things for his children. I love what he said. Then if his faithful love continues and his faithfulness continues. What the Lord said, I want to bring your life to a stable place of my goodness. And the Lord says the way to do that is through this worship, through being able to bring your life into a place of worship before me, following the roadmap of getting into my presence. And the Lord said, I can stabilize your life. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living up and down. I'm tired of going from extremes. God says, I can stabilize your life. I can stabilize your life on the goodness of God. Now, I want you to know, whatever the devil's done to fight against you, and whatever the devil may be trying right now to fight against you, it's the will of God to bring our life into a stable place of God's goodness for your life. And not only that, it says for the next generation. This is a promise. Not only does God want to make your life stable, but God wants to stabilize your life and then to be able to stabilize your children's lives. Somebody says, man, that would take a miracle. Yeah, I know. But God says, I want to do that. And not only does he say, I want to stabilize your children's life, God said, I want to stabilize your children's children, generation, next generation. God said, so this promise is to you. And this promise, I mean, it's worth going for. It's worth winning. Man, I feel like that thoroughbred that's right there, and the gate's fixing open, and I'm fixing to run around the track to win this thing. God's offered me so much. And if I can begin to move my life forward, then I have opportunity of having a stable life in God's goodness, and for the next two generations, having stable lives in God. How many would like to just do that and be a part of that? Well, that's what the will of the Lord is. And that's what God is saying to form your faithfulness. Now, enter to his gates, first with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. This is a progression, moving closer to the Lord. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, I don't mean to make Hebrew scholars and won't do that, but I just want to touch base. I want you to gain this. And a lot of you feel right first. This is just the beginning. And you may not want to grasp a lot of it, but I believe God's going to help us here. I really believe he is. Now, the word enter is important, too. It's not one of the four Hebrew main words for praise, but it's important because it is the word come. And it's a more of a meaning of the word come. It means to change positions. It says, from where you were, it's a location. It says, change your location. Whatever is, to get somewhere else, you usually got to leave where you are. And so God is saying that. He's saying, you got to come. So you've got to change locations. It's location word. You got to change here, and you've got to come here. Because he says, the process of coming close to me is always movement. Always moving. That desire inside you that God's put there to be closer to him, that's from God. And he's going to give you the power to make that movement. You may be tired, you may be discouraged, you may be downcast, but I'm telling you what, you got the power to make that movement. God's going to help you. So it's the word enter or the word come. Now it said enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's the word todah. The Hebrew word todah. Now this is important because this is the first mile marker. This is where it starts. This is called the sacrifice of praise word. Todah is a wonderful, wonderful Hebrew word because what it means, I start here. When I can't see anything happening, when I can't see any goodness, when I can't see things working out, I'm just going to praise God anyway. And in this word, it's so powerful. Because in this word, it's this act right here. It's the taking of the hand, lifting up in this way. It's a surrender. Said, God, I don't understand what's happened. I don't know what's going on. But I believe that you can change everything. And I'm going to surrender it to you for the glory of God. It's the willingness to praise when things are bad. Now, some people can't do that, they don't think. They don't think. They're so moved by their feelings. If they're feeling good, you know it. If they're feeling bad, you know it. If they're upset, you know it. And you're just a little creature that's just controlled by your feelings. You've got to determine if I'm going to move closer to God, I'm going to move by my faith and what I believe. I'm not going to be moved by my feeling. So therefore, I'm going to do this. When I can't see it, I'm going to praise anyway. I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Amen. Well, that's the word todah. Then that next word where it says, enter to his gates, thanksgiving to his courts with praise. It says, it's the word tehillah. Now, it's not tequila, all right? Some of you already misunderstood the word. It's the word tehillah. Now, this is an important word, too. Oh, this is so important. That this, because tehillah is one of the real progressive words of praise. It's when I come to a place where literally I begin to see the Lord. I see how good he is. I'm not there yet. I may not be experiencing it in my life yet, but I could see him. And all of a sudden, all those things that people try to get me to blame God for, all those car accidents and all those things that he tried to get me to point a finger and blame God for, when Jesus identified himself, he said, "The thief come to steal, kill, and destroy." Jesus said, "That's not me." He said, "But I'm the one that's come to give you life. I'm the one that's come to help you in the midst of your crisis. I'm the one that's going to help you, give you strength where the problems have developed." The devil is in your life to give you problems. Jesus is in your life to straighten out those problems for the glory of God. And so we get a wrong view of God. And when we can't see the Lord, we can't see his goodness. But this is this picture. This is this place of worship. When I come to a place, I see God's good. I've watched so many people right there on that testimony just a few minutes ago, that cardboard testimony. I could start weeping right now just thinking about their lives. Because I have been with them when their lives were totally destructive. When they had that death sentence of cancer on their life. Death sentences, I mean, just all kinds of things. But even in the midst of that, they begin to see God. And they begin to say, "I can see God's good. I can see God's the healer even if I'm not healed yet. I can see God is the deliverer even if I'm not delivered yet." And they begin to see God. And at that point, the Bible says that's the second mile marker. When you begin, first you start out, you can't see anything. But you just believe that, "Bless God, I'm not going to give glory to the devil. I'm going to give glory to God. Instead of complaining about this issue, I'm going to give praise about this issue. And I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise." And then you move to that second level and God begins to open up your spiritual eyes. And at that point, you begin to see the goodness of God. And then all of a sudden, then you move into what the Bible calls that third level, third mile marker. And it's the word yada. Now that is such an important, powerful praise. Praise there, yada. What this means is my hands have changed. My hands have changed from this that I'm going to praise God anyway. My hands have become this. "God, I can't make it without your power. I can't." It comes to a point of receiving hands. It's when you worship God. I've watched people do that with all types of difficulties through the years. I've watched probably some of you right in here this morning in the midst of the things that you're facing. In the midst of what you're going through. Maybe you say, "Lord, I don't have the strength to walk back out and deal with this anymore. I don't have the chance. I don't have the faith to deal with those kids anymore. I just don't have the strength." But I watched you this morning and you stood before the Lord and you begin to say, "Lord, I receive help from you. I receive strength for you." I want you to know that's a powerful move, because that literally in the Hebrew, the hands change. The hands go from this to this. What it means is, in the midst of that worship, that life, my life coming to the point there, my hands are changed. "Lord, I receive your power." And then the power is received. And what seemed to be so weak and so frail, all of a sudden comes strong, and they become warrior's hands. And at that point, the hands change. The Bible says that word yada, it means taking a weapon and throwing it with your hand. God's making a warrior out of you. You thought that you was facing was came to destroy you. You thought the enemy was going to take you down with that one. God said, "I never meant for it to take you down. I meant for you to take it down for the glory of God." And God's making a powerful warrior out of you. Now, there's that fourth level. And that fourth level is this. It's the word Barak. Now, this is the most miraculous word, or the most miraculous level out of these four. And this is the mile marker. It kind of shows me where I am in the Lord. But what really God wants to do in our life, that all four of these are working in our lives at all time. There's always those points of me that I'm bringing to God. There's always those points of me that I'm beginning to see him greater in. There's always those points. But this one is brought. Now, this is the last level in this particular journey in this Psalms 100 and verse 3 and 4. This literally means this. It means I kneel before God. That means I've reached his presence. I kneel before God, and God takes his hand and places it upon me and puts a miracle in my life. This is the word when it says that Abraham came before God childless, had no child. But what he did was he barak. He offered this praise to God in the midst of his desperation. And God's response was, I'm going to put my hand on your head, son. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. God said, you only wanted one child. I'm going to give you more children than the sands of the sea. God, miraculous, came to his rescue. Amen. So that is the roadmap that's laid out before us. Now, we're going to very quickly cover it. In words or that we can kindly understand it, okay? Enter his gates, thanksgiving, courts of praise, give thanks to him, and praise his holy name. This is a process of me trying to get close to the Lord. And God knows that. The Lord knows that he created that desire in our heart for us to reach out to him. Every one of us are doing that. Now, we may have blocked it through a lot of things in our life, and we may be trying to stop it, and we tried, but inside of us, God put that in each of our heart. And our hearts are that's reaching out to the Lord. It says, and then in the New Testament, it says this way. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, this is really important. A lot of times, we want only God's sacrifice. We want only the Lord to be the one that paid any price. But the Lord says, no, my great sacrifice will strengthen you to bring your life as a sacrifice to me. So now in our lives, the Lord tells us in the New Testament, that's why he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The next verse says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now all of a sudden we've reached the area of miraculous again. Each one of us cannot change ourselves. We have no power to change ourselves. We have no power many times over our circumstances. But God says, don't be conformed to this world. Put your life as a sacrifice before me. And God said, I will transform. Now this word transform is the word metamorphosis. It's the word that we call in English language metamorphosis. What it means, God's going to take this caterpillar and God's going to make it a butterfly. I don't know what it is in your life that God wants to do that, but that's the will of the Lord. The Bible says, enter his gates with todah. What that simply means, true thankfulness is a heart of surrender. Surrender. It starts right there. The Holy Spirit, when we come to God, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with each of our lives. And God begins to reveal to us and point out areas that are hindering us in our walk toward him. The Holy Spirit, there's not a person here this morning. You may say that you don't know how to get close to God. But I'm going to tell you something you do know. You do know the barriers that are standing in your way. You do know the things that the Holy Spirit has put his finger on and touched in your life. You do know those things. And that's what this word's all about. This word taught us the first mile marker is for my life to come to a place of surrender where I'm willing to surrender. See, I can do that. And somebody said, I can't do that. I can't surrender this before the Lord. And I want to tell you, God said you can. And I just have a tendency to believe God more than you. Because God says you can. God said he would give you the desire and the power both to will and to work for his satisfaction, his delight, and his good pleasure. So that means this. Not only has God created a desire inside of you to be close to God, and the first step in that is for me to come to an altar of surrender. God's also given me the power to do that. Now, I can look back in my life. I hit this altar many, many times. I can remember the altar of anger and extensive rage in my life. I had no power over that. I could not stop my anger. I could not stop my rage. Some of you can't stop your worrying. Some of you can't stop your fear. Some of you can't stop your nagging. You understand? But what we do, we come to God and we surrender it to the Lord. The thing that we can do is surrender it on altar of the Lord. Now, when it came to my anger, for example, it took many, many visits at the altar. I mean, I had altars all over the world, all over the country where I was, because anger and rage tried to control my life. And what happens is that who I surrender to is going to become the master of that. In fact, in Ezekiel 44:9, let's read it. It said, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. No foreigners, including those who live among the people of Israel, will enter my sanctuary. Nobody will come into my presence, he said. If they have not been circumcised, what they mean, they've come into relationship with me and they have not surrendered themselves to the Lord. the greatest thing of moving me toward the presence of God, I must be willing to come into a place of surrender. Acts chapter 11 says this, and the presence of the Lord was with them with power, so that a great number learned to believe, to adhere to, trust in, and rely on the Lord, and turned and surrendered themselves to Him. A lot of times we turn, but God says, step number one, you've been close to me, there must be points in your life that you surrender. You must allow the Holy Spirit to point out things in your life and let the Holy Spirit bring you to altars of surrender. Amen. Now, it's so important. I can remember, like I said, my anger, for example. That was one of my harder ones that I had to deal with. To bring it to an altar. See, I couldn't do anything with it. But what I could do, I could bring it to an altar. And it took literally years in my life of bringing that to the altar. But God began, what happened is this. The Lord will begin, as we begin to surrender things to our life, said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of good news of Christ, for it's the power of God working unto salvation. With those who have a personal trust and a confident surrender. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you're slaves? So if I continually yield myself to the enemy, I become the enemy's slave. I may have a deep love for God in my heart, but if I'm consistently surrendering to the enemy, I become his slave. God says, I want you to surrender it to me. So step number one, I come to a place to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in my life. I allow the Holy Spirit to bring me to a place where I will allow him to convict me. And I allow, and my worship literally becomes that surrender to the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, if I got rebellion in my heart, I'm not going to have a praise and worship toward the Lord. If there's rebellion working inside of me, I'm not going to be drawn into the presence of God. I've got to come to a place where I am willing. All of us want to receive from the Lord, but we come to step number one. Step number one is I must be willing to surrender. So whatever the Holy Spirit is tapping you on the shoulder, you get no closer to the Lord than to that point of surrender. We all had to come to that place. I remember as the Lord dealt with me over that anger, dealt with me time and time again. I began to hate it. I began to resist it. But the wonderful thing about God, that if you would take a step, man, he'll take two towards you. And every time that I would make an altar and surrender that before God, a little more grace would come into my life. Now, the thing that God's given us to overpower our flesh is the power of his grace. See, what you can't do, you just let grace do. What you can't overpower, you just let grace do. And so what you do, you continually surrender that to the Lord. And many of us some things you have physical power over. Some things the Lord says, he can tap that on the shoulder and say, that's standing between you and I need you to get that out of the way. And then you can immediately say, Lord, it's yours. I'm just waiting for you to tell me. It's immediately yours. Now, other things are much harder than that. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a lifetime of much things that are much harder than that. Things that were inbred into me so deep inside my soul, that even though I didn't want to be that way, I was that way. And so I desperately couldn't overcome it. But what God said, if you will surrender it, I'll give you my grace. And that's what the Bible says. Paul said, I learned to begin to rejoice in my weakness, because when I'm the weakest, I'm really the strongest because of God's grace. I tell you what, some of you have no idea what God's grace is. You thought grace was just a pair of glasses that God put on when he looked at you. No, God's grace, sure, he looks at our sin differently. And because of grace, God's able to forgive us. But I'm going to tell you this, because of God's grace, we are what we are. And because of God's grace, he can help us to overcome. In fact, one scripture said, I just need more and more grace. I've been there a bunch of times. I said, Lord, little grace won't do this. I've got to have a lot of grace to handle this situation. And what it does, it completely removes excuses out of our life. Immediately we'll remove excuses. It's no more I can't, but it's simply I will. And we determine. And I don't care, honey, if you have to put it on the altar 365 times a year, you do that for the glory of God. Because what God will do in you and drawing you closer to him will be well worth whatever price that you're needing to pay. Because this first level is this. It's also called the fellowship offering. Now, the fellowship offering is kind of a little bit hard to understand, but it's simply this. The fellowship of what God said, this first level, this total praise, is a fellowship offering. It's what I'm willing that I will. The fellowship offering said this. It said, God, I want you in my life so much, I'm willing to surrender this to you. And the fellowship offering became part of, Lord, I want you. I want you. I want you so much in my life. I'm willing, Lord, to lay this on the altar. Amen. How many says, hey, I'm willing to lay it on the altar? And grace gives us the very strength to overcome for the glory of God. Amen. All right. Now, I want to talk about the next one. Next one is that the next form of praise, which is, it's a true thing, but it's to change me. It's a heart to change. If I'm going to grow close to God, I've got to realize I have to have a heart to surrender and then have to have a heart to change. Now, the difference is this. I cannot change myself. There are things that's out of it. None of us can change ourselves. So God's given me, but this is the Tehillim. This is the part, remember, where you get the new eyesight of God. All of a sudden, you begin to see God as strong. You know, I had somebody just the other day, I was talking with them in an issue similar. And they said, you know, I saw God, I just saw him as weak. I saw God unable to handle that. But then I began to see God differently. I want to tell you what, when you begin to see God differently, it can change your whole world. Because something miraculously happens the way you see God. If you see God as a healer, he can heal you. If you see God as the deliverer, he can deliver you. If you see God as a provider, he can provide for you. As you see God as a helper, he can help you. If you see God as a miracle worker, he can provide you a miracle. Amen. The Bible says a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is the change of heart produced by the Holy Spirit. God has the power to change me. This is me trying to change myself. I'm looking through a glass darkly. I can't see. God, how can I get in there? How can I become that different one? Somebody says, it's the power of God. There comes that place in our life of being able to see him. I love this scripture. It says, behold, this tells us the secret. Behold, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. This is the miracle of God. If I will begin to look at God and begin to see God. Now, what the devil wants you to do is look at you. He wants to see every mistake you've made. He wants to tell you that God's going to hold you responsible for something you committed 20 years ago that you've already repented of 50 times. See, that's the devil. The devil wants to keep you in such a disharmony. The devil wants to keep you so afraid. The devil wants to keep you so mixed up. And God said, I just want you to look at me. God said, quit looking at yourself. Start looking at me. Now, this scripture has a miracle in it. This scripture said, as I behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, that I will be changed into that same image. I can't tell you how that happens, but I watch it happen all the time. I watch people that are totally unable to bring change in themselves. But they begin to look to the Lord. I watch it happen in praise services consistently. As people are unable to bring change in themselves, all of a sudden they begin to get their mind off of themselves and begin to put their eyes on God. If we will begin to get our eyes on God and get our eyes off of our problem, off our difficulty, some people, all they want to talk about is their bills, their problem, their situation, their circumstances, their sicknesses, and their disease. Get me away from people like that. Put me with people that want to talk about how big God is and how great God is and what God can do and what God can overcome and how he can help. Because when you find somebody like that, they begin to see God differently. Honey, it won't be long that caterpillar is going to become that butterfly. There's going to be a miracle change. If you can begin to look at God and see God as your healer, it won't be long till you're going to be healed. If you can begin to look at God and see God as your deliverer, get your eyes off your problem. Get your eyes on God. Years ago, they told me a story about a man that was consistently discouraged. Man, they said you could tell that he always had his head down. He was constantly looking down, looking down, looking down, looking down. And finally, God gave him a revelation. God gave him an experience with himself. And he moved in this other level of praise. The next church service, he came. And people began to say the same thing. They said, Jim, you're still looking down. You're still looking down. They said, Jim, look up, look up, look up. Finally, he got their attention. He said, listen to me. I'm seated with Jesus and Christ Jesus in heavenly places. The only way I can look is that look down. You understand? God wants us to get a different view from a different perspective. God will help us. Amen. And if I can see God differently, then God would transform me. The Bible says, as I behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. If I can see God gloriously, if I can see God come to myself. I went through a period of depression one time that lasted for 2 years. During the first year of that depression, I was total suicidal. The second year of that, I loved God and loved God with all of my heart. But there was something that happened in my brain, in my mind, that collapsed inside me, and I had no power. The only thing I could do is, every so often, God would give me a glimpse of himself, and that carried me through. And always when I would see God, I usually see it when I go to church service. Somebody says, man, I'm too depressed to go to church. Let me tell you, if I'm depressed, I'm going to church. I want to see something miraculous and spiritual. I want to see something to get me out of my situation. And I would go to church, and Sunday after Sunday, it would happen. I would see Jesus on his white horse coming to rescue me. I didn't know when, and I didn't know how, but I knew what I was seeing. And God let me see that Sunday after Sunday. And do you know what? After a while, I was transformed into that person that he rescued. I came out of that darkness and never, ever been in that darkness again. That was about 25 years ago, and I've never, ever been in that darkness again. And when somebody gets in that darkness, I love to just help them kick that devil demon out of their life, because I hate that darkness. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Get a view of God, and God will transform you into that. That's a form of worship. Praise the Lord. Okay. Got it close. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Now, this is the word yada. This is the word that causes. If I'm going to allow God, I must have a heart to receive. I must have a heart to receive. You got to understand, you don't have enough power. You don't have enough strength to make it. You may think you do, but you don't. God wants us dependent upon him. Man, he's got a petrol. I mean, he's got an ethyl. He's got a high octane that nobody else can compare with. Do you understand? And it has to come from him. And in the midst of worship, this is my third mile marker. It's where I'm drawing my strength from. This is a picture of the word of God becoming so alive inside of me. See, sometimes when people are in the Word of God, they say, well, I just can't find nothing in the Word of God that ministers to me. I tell you what, you get in a crisis and you look out and you begin to worship Jesus, you're going to find out that that Word can speak to your heart. And all of a sudden, this is the person that is desperate for God. See, all of a sudden, the Word now has not become something of a standard and a code to live by. At this stage, the Word of God has become my bread. I have to have it to live. I'm going to tell you, some of you think you're at a weak time when you get up every morning. You say, I can't make it without that word. I got to have that word in me. I'm going to tell you what, honey, you're not living on your weakness. You're living on God's strength. Because all of a sudden that word of God will bring a strength into your life that nothing else can. And then there's also, then when you look the other way, on one side there's this table of showbread that's showing that the word of God began. And I look to the left and all of a sudden I see the light, candlestick of the Lord. The other thing that's going to empower you is the power of the Holy Spirit. There comes to a place you will only go so far in God without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. There are revelations, there's things that God wants to show you about himself that he cannot show you until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you this, to back up here just a quick minute. When a person is saved, they receive the Holy Spirit. It's not something foreign to you. But the Bible says, you that have been saved, you must also be filled. The Bible says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it uses the word filled. The picture that you see in this word filled is this. It's a glass that's completely full, but all of a sudden it is submerged in a powerful pool of the same water that little glass had. Every one of us are going to come in our walk in life to where we've got a full glass and the Holy Spirit's coming to us at the point of salvation. But all of a sudden we find out, I've got to have more. I've just got to have more. I don't need something new. I just need something more of what I've already started with. I just need more of this God. I need more of his strength. I need more of his power. I need more. The Lord knew that it was so important that he told his disciples not even to move into the ministry, Larry, to wait till they receive power from on high. Because this is so important. I tell you what, I cannot tell you the hours I cannot tell you the times of rescue. I cannot tell you the times. I did not know what to do. I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't know how to bring it forth. All I knew is that the Holy Spirit's power inside me, I could trust God that was working inside my life. And in those moments, you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and refill 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 you. And what you literally become a conduit of God. And then somebody walks up to you and say, hey, you're handling this problem pretty good. And you look back at them and say, if you knew how I was handling this problem, you wouldn't say this. But what you've seen is God flowing through me. This is a God thing. This thing is handled by God. This thing taken care of by God. And when you get to this point, your hands become this. You become hands. You say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't handle this situation. I can't handle this sickness. I can't handle this family. I can't handle this. And I tell you, all of those I've been before the Lord with. I've had to be before the Lord and say, God, I can't handle this. I can't handle marriage. I can't handle finances. Lord, I can't handle my kids. I can't handle this job. I can't handle. I've been before there so many times. But I'm going to tell you, all of a sudden, that little hand will go from that and go to this and say, but God, if I can get more of you, if I can get more of your power, if I can, and all of a sudden worship becomes different from me. Worship becomes that my hands are reaching out to God for God to some way fill me with his power and fuse me with his inner strength. And God, give me a power that I'm able to walk through this thing victoriously for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. So it has to be a heart to receive. Heart to receive. And some of you are right there today. I mean, that's where you are in the midst of your battle. You've fought it yourself. You've hammered on that nail as far as you can get it in. You just can't do it anymore. But God said, I have a power for you. And in the midst of your worship, God said, I'll help you to receive in Jesus' name. Then the last one. It was a heart to surrender, a heart to change, heart to receive. Than a heart to become. When I move into this form of worship, when you and I move into this form of worship, things lose their hold. All of a sudden, when you get with me and you say, what's happening in your life? I'm not going to tell you about my job. I'm not even going to tell you about my kids. When I get with you, I want to talk to you about God's purpose in my life. A person that comes to this stage and they kneel before God, they recognize that the most important thing in all the world is to be able to stand before God one day and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The purposes and the plans of God are the most important things in all of our life. They become more important. They shine brighter than bigger than everything. Oh, I know you may have learned how to run a company. You may have learned how to turn around a situation. You may have learned how to win on a lot of fronts. But honey, there's one front that's major. Are you fulfilling the purpose that God put you on earth to fulfill? Abraham, I didn't put you here to be childless. Abraham, my purpose for you is to be able to fill this world with children that will love me. God, I'm powerless. What can I do? You can kneel before me, Abraham. You can move into my presence and allow me to touch your life. When Abraham moved into that position, the hand of God came upon him. And the hand of God created in him everything that the devil had tried to rob from him to keep God's purpose from being fulfilled. You may think that God doesn't even know you're here. But tell you what, God dreamed about you before you were born. And God brought you into this world. The Bible even says that every day of your life, what's it in the book of Psalms? Every day of your life, God has already written it in his book. The Bible says that in heaven the books will be open. The books of what God called me to do. What was my purpose? Oh, I may be a daddy. I may be a husband. I may be a preacher. Maybe a carpenter. Maybe a lawyer. Maybe a doctor. But what was the purpose that God put me on here, on earth to do? I must let God make me into that he's called me to be. I must allow God to place his hand upon my life. And I must allow God to let the miracle power of himself flow into me, making me what I was meant to be. And then the amazing thing about it is, you find that all the things that's been against you in life has been there for one purpose. Ever since you were born and came out of your mother's womb, the devil was trying to stop that purpose. So all the issues that you face, all the insecurities that's there, all the rejections that you have, all of those that failed you, all those that hurt you, all of that was the enemy just trying to stop. And he thought he could rob you from God's purpose in your life. But then all of a sudden in worship you find, God can restore to me all that the devil tried to take away from me. All that the enemy tried to take from my life, God can restore to me, to make me what he called me to be. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 So there's some of us, we need to start our path of moving closer to the Lord by starting with a simple act of surrender. Whatever God is putting his hand on in my life. I say, Lord, nothing's worth losing you, or nothing's worth taking a chance of not being close to you as I can. Lord, you put your finger on it and it's yours. And you surrender it, expecting God's grace to give you the strength. Others of you, God wants to build a new picture of himself in your life. Some of you have known fathers that rejected you, hurt you, beat you, pushed you out of their life. But I want you to know you've come to a father that will never leave you. God wants you to gain a picture of a father that will fight over whatever comes. See, my life was a life of rejection. My father rejected me when I was about 5 or 6 years old. Lived in the same town, didn't acknowledge me. That built such an insecurity in me. When I came to God, I had that same insecurity. And then God let me see him. Every time God let me see him, he was running, stepping over whatever he could step over to get to me. Amen. And you know what? It's just good being God's favorite, but we all are his favorite. It's just good having a daddy that'll be with you at all times. Then others of us, we've got to learn to receive. We're trying to make it in our own power. We got to learn to receive. We got to come across whatever obstacles we're faced. We've got to learn to receive. We've just got to learn to receive. We've got to learn to receive his Holy Spirit. We've got to learn to allow his Holy Spirit to fill us full. We've got to learn for his word to become alive and becomes nourishment in our life. And then others of us, we've got to allow God to miraculously touch our life, to bring us into being what he's created us to be. And every time that somebody will, I can just see God. You see there, devil? You thought you could stop him. You thought you could stop my power. You thought you could make him sick enough. You thought you could make him hard enough. You thought you could hurt him enough. You thought you could reject him enough. You thought you could punch him enough where they would never, ever believe that I could flow through them. But you failed, devil, because they let me touch them with my miracle power. Amen. Making us what we ought to be. Well, it's time to close. And what we need to do, we just need to start with step number one. If there's issues in our life, and this is where we just start at today, and you take the rest of these points and use them as mile markers in your life, and just determine you're going to grow. You're going to, movement is God. Movement is God. No, if you're sitting still, that's not you. Movement is God. I don't care if it's a trial that stopped you from growing in some way, you find a way you can move. Always keep movement going on in your life, because that movement, getting close to the Lord. If there's air in your life that you know the Holy Spirit has dealt with that you need to surrender to the Lord, I want you to simply stand right where you're seated. And together we're going to ask God to help us. There's areas of your life that you know that you need to surrender, that the Holy Spirit, not your neighbor, not somebody else, but the Holy Spirit, you feel like has convicted you and dealt with you over. Praise God. Lord, we stand before you. Now remember what this sign is. This sign is the surrender sign. That's what that word means. It means lift up, toda. Lift up your hands, what it means. There will come a time when God will do that with us. But right now, this is. And just say, Lord, I surrender. First, ask forgiveness. That you would forgive me. Go ahead and whisper that in your heart. And say, Lord, first I ask forgiveness. And then, Lord, I come to surrender this area to you. I lay it on the altar of God. Lord, this is my sacrifice. This is my offering to you, to allow everything to be removed from my life that would be hindering me from growing closer to you. Now, Holy Spirit, do a work of your grace in me. Right now, with my hands raised, cause your power, your grace to come into me and empower me and give me the strength that this will no longer pull me down or pull me aside. I lay aside this weight that tries to hold me back. In Jesus' name, amen.